With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Fickell.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Johnny Cake Sawville.
Happy Wednesday. It is Wednesday.
It's Wednesday.
Pretty sure.
Feels like a Friday, though.
But we're doing all of the Friday things on the show.
Yes.
So it's Redskins Wednesday. It's a movie Wednesday. Mm-hmm. It's a fantasy Wednesday.
It's a Feinstein Wednesday.
Yes. Here's the deal. Bunch of guests on the show today. We're going to talk about Creed 2 with Kevin coming up at 7.
We could have skipped Kev.
Except it's Creed 2. Oh. I might go see it today.
Really? The only reason why I okayed it for today is because he was doing Creed 2, and I know JP can't wait for the movie.
JP,
I'm looking forward to it.
JP can't keep it in his pants for Creed 2. He's got to run out the first day
Creed?
And see it. I saw it.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Good.
I don't really remember.
I don't know that I need to run out day one and go see Creed 2.
No,
but
it's Drago's son. Drago's
it's a boxing
back.
Movie. Of course, JP's a big boxing mark. He's going to go see it.
So Kevin's going to join us at 7 to talk movies. We're going to do Fridays with Feinstein on a Wednesday at 7:20. We will talk to the best-selling author. But the headliner is Coach Scott Brooks going to join us at 8
he
from
is,
the Wizards.
Yes.
And the Wizards came back yesterday, and we'll talk about it, and they got a win. But there's so much controversy swirling with the Washington Wizards. We'll get into that shortly. Dave Richards is going to join us at 8:20. So for all of you fantasy football people that have lineup questions that rely on Dave Richards to give you advice each and every week, he will join us at 8:20.
Oh, it's crunch time. It's
and
week
of course,
12.
We'll be talking Redskins Cowboys throughout the show. Mike Florio. ProFootballTalk.com. NBC Sports is going to join us at 9. So yesterday, the Wizards have a game with the Clippers on the heels of everybody is available for trade, on the heels of John Wall saying F you to his coach, reports that Kelly Oubre did the same thing, Bradley Beal staring at Ernie Grunfeld saying, I'm sick of this S. And before the game, Stephen A. Smith said he got a text. He does a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
Said he got a text from an anonymous Wizards player. And the Wizards player said, we love Scott Brooks. Love playing for him. He just can't coach John. John walks all over him, and it frustrates everybody. The way he plays is impossible to play with. We have so many guns, not enough bullets. If John would just play off the ball and let others eat, we'd be fine. But that's a difficult thing for him to do. And sometimes it's difficult for us to watch. That's the message, according to Stephen A. So that was before the game. And then in the game, it looks like it's just going to go south. The first half, I'm watching it. They give up 73 points in the first half. They're down by as much as 24 points. They
as
look
a brother, what's up?
They look lethargic.
Yeah.
They look
there's
dead.
A lot of lethargy going on there.
Giving up wide open threes, the same old thing. And in the second half, they responded. Came to life. Jeff Green, big game off the bench, but it was the stars. It was John Wall and Bradley Beal leading the way. I think they combined for 15 assists, combined for 57 points. So it's curious how they can turn it on for a half and play that well against a really good team because Clippers had been streaking, winning a bunch of games.
They won 5 straight heading into last night.
And yet they just can't do it consistently.
It just shows you how dysfunctional they are. Show, you know, the fact that they're where they are, it shows you the kind of ability they have when they're all on the same page. If you watch the highlights, and I didn't watch the game live, but I watched NBA.com does a great job. You can see all the different packages. And the kind of defense they were playing in the first half was a joke. I mean, it was like literally no defense. Guys just standing around, no helping, nobody boxing out. Guys just streaking in the basket, wide open threes. And then in the second half, I mean, it's hard for me to jock. It still gave up 55 points, but it was way better than giving up 73.
I mean, they overcame a 24-point deficit.
I mean, they put the clamps somehow on Tobias Harris because he was raking them over the coals in the first half. I think he had either 25 or 27 in the first half, and he wound up with 29. So he didn't do basically anything in the second half. Yeah. He looked like he was on a bullet train to 50 points in that game last night.
At one point, I don't know if it was first half or second half, Jeff Green playing some good defense on him, got right in his face, blocked his shot.
Kudos to John. One thing I'll say is I don't like him taking as many threes as he did last night. He happened to hit a bunch of them. There was one possession where he shot two threes and Otto shot a three and they missed all three of them. I guess that's the way it is in the NBA.
I saw that possession. It was
I just
quite
don't like
maddening.
John taking threes and somebody shot back while he's 5 for 10. You know what? More often than not, when he takes 10 threes, he's only going to hit three of them.
Right. He's
not a good three-point shooter.
Usually 2 or 3 for 10.
And if you look at his career numbers and you look at his numbers this year, they really haven't gotten that much better. He's not a great three-point shooter. But it is interesting that there's this anonymous source, and after the game, you know, they should feel good about things. After the game, in the interviews, Markieff Morris is talking about it's effed up. Mm. Now they want to figure out who the anonymous source is. My guess is it's Bradley Beal, because Bradley Beal, you know, is the guy who supposedly was looking at Ernie and said it's the same ass for the last 7 years. And almost the sentence structure reminds me of Bradley Beal.
I think, too, just when they refers to sort of letting everybody eat.
Yeah,
that's a whole thing back in last year.
There's a lot of chaos going on.
But here's what John said.
They shook up the lineup
after the game. And to his credit, again, John Wall responded because he finishes with 30 points and 8 assists and shot well yesterday and led him to the win. Here's John Wall after the game.
Jason, his team, to hear certain things like being traded. You know what I mean? I try to stay focused. Focus on getting ready to have my new son. Trying to turn his organization around, his franchise around, and win some games. All it is just go out there and compete, dog. You know what I mean? All of us go out here and compete. That's one thing I always did since day one is give everything I got. And to hear those type of things, it's kind of funny. It's frustrating at the same time. But I've been through worse things, worse than that. So I just stand over top of all that.
I didn't know he's about to become a proud papa. Early congrats to John Wall.
Did he say that? I didn't even hear that.
Said he's got a son on the way.
I didn't even understand.
He is a
what
very fast talker. Like if you sleep on John Wall,
I didn't hear him say it for
a second or two, you're gonna miss what he's saying.
Can you play the end part again? Like the last 10 seconds? I assume that's when
he said
it.
Was toward the early part. Just replay the whole thing. We got nothing but time. It's Thanksgiving Eve.
Man, you know what I mean? All the heart and effort and drive I've had for this organization, this team. To hear certain things like being traded, you know what I mean? I try to stay focused. Focus on getting ready to have my new son, trying to turn his organization around, his franchise around, and win some games. All it is just go out there and compete, dog.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? All of us go out there.
I got it. Yeah, cool.
There was a little blurb there in the middle. The audio wasn't the best.
Yeah, it was a little
so I can understand getting thrown by that. But like JP said, they were led by the stars last night. Beal had 27. I mean, I was shocked that Beal was able to recover. I mean, did you see the head smash between him and it was Tyrone Wallace from the Clippers?
Yeah. Wallace didn't come back.
Where they butted heads. I mean, Beal had a mouse over his eye. His eye was all swole.
Yeah.
They patched him up, put a Band-Aid on it. The Band-Aid, by the way, looked like it was completely obscuring at least part of his eye. I mean, I don't know how you shoot with that thing
played
on your
well
face.
In the second half.
Yeah, he played well, so give them credit. They faced the adversity and got a win last night. Let's just see how they continue.
Do they
from
have
here.
To keep digging themselves these huge first quarter holes?
It's frustrating.
So they have to be down 19 and a half.
Yeah. It's almost like they're a horse that needs to be whipped down the stretch of a race.
Yeah.
That they'll cruise and that doesn't do very well for them. And then they got to get whipped like a horse down the stretch. And they responded. But will it be consistent? That's the hard part. Will it carry over? I know Cakes yesterday mentioned they got a tough stretch of games coming up.
Well, let's
up.
See what happens after Thanksgiving.
Over the next 6 games, they're going to have a really tough schedule. How will they fare in these next six games?
Just coming up the next two, Friday, they're at the Raptors, and then the quick turnaround, they're home against the Pelicans.
Right.
And that's a pretty tough
They'll
little stretch.
They'll be the dog in both of those games.
Yep. And then the Rockets are looming. There's another game with the Pelicans.
And with John, he's so talented, but it's the effort. And that's apparently where he got into a fight with Scott Brooks about. When he puts forth the effort, you can see he's one of the best point guards in the game. And he can get to the ball, to the basket. He can make game-changing plays. He can set up guys for wide-open shots. But he doesn't have that consistent effort.
Well, he doesn't have it at all on defense. Zero on defense.
Yeah.
And I just don't know if your point guard, generally speaking, should be leading your team in shots.
There's some video that went viral from Brian Oringer, who I believe went on Grant Danny's show. I actually used to coach his sister in soccer, and he was a video game coordinator for the Wizards, and I watched the video. He just highlights some possessions during games, and he showed one possession which jumped out at me. It was like the end of the shot clock. So they have 1 second left on the shot clock, and John is on the wing. And so Jeff Green, I believe, shoots a grasper. And you pretty much know when there's 1 second on the shot clock, you just better get back on defense. And he literally stands there while four guys on the opposing team run right by him down for a fast break. Mm-hmm. And then he starts jogging back on defense. But four guys had passed him, and he was on the three-point line when the shot was taken.
It's impossible.
And I got to imagine, you know, when they have these film sessions, I mean, what do? You show it, and you go, got to get back.
Got to grill him for that.
I said it yesterday. You know, who does he want to be coached? Does John Wall want to be coached? Does the team want to be coached? And I think it's a big question. A big question. Because it doesn't appear from the outside looking in that John really wants to be coached.
This is not a character. Sounded like Coach Brooks was defending John to some extent yesterday, and in particular about body fat. Did you hear his body fat response?
Give me 1 second. I'll pull it up.
It's laughable. It's laughable, the response from you're talking about from Coach Brooks?
Yes.
Let's just let him.
I don't think it's necessarily laughable.
If it's what I'm thinking it is, I found it to be laughable.
Okay. Well, we can talk
John
about
is,
that.
He's been taking hits. You know, let's face it. You know, the guy, he's come in and he's worked hard and he's getting to practice early. You hear all the reports, you know, he's heavy. Guy has 7% body fat. If anybody has 7%, all the guys in there, anybody has 7% fat, raise their hand.
Stop. Stop Thank right you. There. Doesn't matter. A reporter's supposed to have 7% body fat. Are you really making that comparison?
No, but his point is he's not fat.
No. His point is he's trying to deflect by saying, well, it's 7% body fat. Are you 7% body fat? That's kind of what he's doing. He's looking out in the crowd.
I just don't know if I believe that.
Do you have 7% body fat?
I don't believe he has 7% body fat. Well, and now, he does look a little lighter to me than he did at the beginning of the season. He doesn't look as puffy.
I don't disagree with it. Because one thing that's always struck me when I go to games is the guys who on TV look super muscular.
Yeah.
They're actually skinnier. Pretty skinny. Like, Martin Gortat always looked like this cocky little guy.
Jacked.
And get close to him, and he's ripped. He's striated, but they're all super thin for running up and down the court like that. My thing is, it's not even about the weight. It's effort, like we said. And maybe you're saying the weight contributes to the lack of effort of running back, but, I mean, there are times when he still blows by guys. He still blocks shots. He just doesn't do it possession in and possession out. I watched almost the whole game last night because there was so much drama and because they were coming back. The fact that they were coming back, look, they were down by 20.
They were down by 24.
Look, sometimes,
yeah, but I mean like at the half.
Sometimes if you put pen to paper on a 5-year, $200 million deal, you're not going to care as much about running up and down the court and playing lockdown defense. Some people will, but maybe John Wall just isn't that guy. And I think he's obviously worked hard to get where he is at this point. I mean, he's the number one pick in his draft class. He's an amazing elite athlete, but maybe he's not as motivated as he was at one point in his career. I don't know.
Beal was asked after the game about his incident with Ernie Grunfeld and the whole chemistry issue. And he says, I wouldn't say we're a team that's not in unison. I wouldn't say that we're a team that hates each other. I say it every game. We're in the locker room. It's positive energy. It's not like I hate the next man and the next man hates that man. It's none of that. It's just figuring it out on the floor.
I hate that.
It's bad chemistry on the floor.
Yeah.
Well, and maybe you don't hate him, but those comments that were sent to Stephen A. Smith in a text, whoever it was, and I would just guess that it was Bradley Beal, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's Jason Smith. Well, who knows who the hell it is? It's pointing to the chemistry and that John Wall is the type of player, by dribbling the ball so much, other players aren't as involved. And I know he gets his assist numbers, but a lot of that.
Just look at the shot distribution.
The assist numbers, a lot of times, are end of shot clock. He's driving and he kicks it out. You can also move the ball early in a shot clock.
I mean, he's taken by far the most amount of shots.
Look, this is a dysfunctional
unit. 30%.
It was a dysfunctional unit before you added Dwight Howard to the mix. Now, I'm not blaming Dwight Howard for everything that's going on.
I mean, he's barely played.
But you're going to add a guy who's got a bad reputation to a team that's already kind of a volatile mix. It's kind of curious.
But I don't
by the way, it's either Bradley Beal or Dwight Howard, in my opinion, because Stephen A. Smith, I doubt he gathers the phone numbers of the Scrubinis.
Yeah, probably not.
Hmm.
Maybe Markeef, although Markeef is saying after the game that it's effed up that there was a leak.
Right.
Yeah, who? I mean,
they'll find the rat. They'll find him.
Beal's a good guess. Maybe it's Otto. Otto's been around for a while. Somebody's been around for a while.
Yeah, but I don't see Otto sending the text after Stephen A. is joning on him, calling him comatose.
Probably not. That probably fractures the relationship. If
only
there
be
was
a couple
one.
Of guys. All right.
Could
so
be
that's
Austin
the deal
Rivers.
With the Wizards.
Could be Austin Rivers. He's been around a long time.
Could be. But they do get a win. They're 6-11. We'll see how they respond here the next couple days and if they end up making a trade. Of course, we're talking Redskins throughout the show. We will talk movies. 7, Kevin will join us, John Feinstein at 7:20, and you don't want to miss Coach Scott Brooks, head coach of the Wizards, at 8 o'clock, all right here on the Junkies.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Packed show today. We'll be talking Redskins Cowboys throughout. Scott Brooks, head coach of the Wizards, will join us at 8. Have to tell you, I'm not going to consume the match on Friday.
Right.
But I was at Lifetime Fitness yesterday, and on one of the TVs, they had PTI.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't watch PTI on the regular. I watch it on occasion. And sure enough, in their 5 good minute segment, it was Tiger and Phil sitting next to each other, yucking it up.
Valdez probably had his pants off watching at home.
I probably haven't watched PTI in over 5 years.
Right.
And someone tweeted me to tell me that they were going to be on the 5 good minutes. I turned it on to watch.
Of course
you did.
Well, you know
you
me.
Big old Mark.
You know me. I listen to the Golf Channel when I'm driving around.
Right.
And I heard I was listening to my guy, Hank Haney. And he was interviewing Phil Mickelson.
Dude, Phil is
they are doing
pumping.
The PR campaign.
Phil was doing it in college football games a few weeks ago, I think an NBA game. He's
right.
Been all over the place.
Phil is all about
because
it.
Because he's getting paid. He loves the match. And I know that those guys are getting a taste of the pay-per-view numbers.
Well, they are, for sure.
The only reason they'd be pimping it so incessantly.
Well, I'm sure they're getting some sort of base guarantee for each to show up. But the fact of the matter is, one of those two guys is going to get $9 million more than the other.
That's pretty nice.
So, which I can understand. And it was during the 5 good minutes. Look, I didn't have the audio, so I just saw like the closed captioned, and I saw them. Is that, and I think you mentioned this before, but maybe it didn't register with me. Why are they not having any fans? It's just going to be an empty course.
What they said they're trying to do is they're trying to create an experience for the people consuming at home. Mm-hmm. So if you're watching at home and you're watching a regular, you know, golf tournament. You don't hear all of the interaction between the guys or in the caddies and stuff like that. And if you have the fans out there, they kind of get in the way of that.
I've heard it's good for the game of golf. It's going to be good for it.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I am looking forward to it. It's like, you know, I know John just hates it. He just
are you buying it? Are you leaning towards buying it?
Oh, yeah. I'll pay $20
You'll
for
plunk
it.
Down the
it's
$20.
$20.
Yeah, right.
I mean, are you kidding?
Yeah. You know what? You could write it off. That's very squeakerish, but you
so
can.
Squeaker.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing it. For sure. My wife tells me every time I buy headphones, where's the receipt?
You're consuming it for work.
Again, I don't really care who wins. The golf is meaningless, but it's just the interaction between the guys.
You care about their stupid bets.
Actually, he did a lot for golf.
Well, here's the thing.
Are you getting sucked in by the $100,000 bet on the first
I talked
hole?
About this yesterday.
It's $200,000.
$200,000 because Tiger doubled it. And if you take them at their word, and Phil prefaced it all by saying, these side bets are our money. Okay, and just so people understand this, Phil Mickelson is a legendary gambler. Like, he almost
degenerate.
Went to prison for his gambling.
Insider trading
he
gambling.
He loves the stock market.
He's gambled millions and millions of dollars in sports bets. Okay?
He loves action.
So for Phil to throw out a $100,000 bet, you know, that he's going to birdie the first hole, it's probably not that out of the realm for him, right? The guy puts hundreds of thousands of dollars on football games.
Right, you're not like whoa, you're really off brand here, yeah, Phil.
No, no, this is kind of on his brand, right? Right? So I believe that they're putting up their own money. Now, the little side story is, and most people think, oh, other people are putting up. No, I believe they're putting up their own money. The thing that is a little interesting about it, though, is all the side bet money is going to charity.
So, that kind of takes away from it a little
bit. But they're still betting their own
money. Even though it's a good cause.
It is a nice thing.
But let me tell you something. If Tiger loses 200K on the first hole, you think he's not going to be bitter? Of course he's going to be. Like, the person that loses is going to be more bitter than the person that's happy that won. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Right. And I talked about this yesterday. These guys, Tiger has made, off the course and on the course, over $1 billion. Okay? One of the first athletes to ever make over $1 billion. He can't just bet $1,000 closest to the pin.
Of course you can't.
And you definitely can't do that now after you have 200K in a side bet on the first hole. Have a $200,000 side bet. And because they were if you watch the 24/7 thing, like, yeah, we'll probably bet $1,000 right here closest to the pin,
yeah,
$500 get up and down.
Yeah,
now the entire stakes have changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The right. entire stakes have changed.
The price of poker's gone up, Cakes.
Yes. Big time.
Raise it up.
They're big raising time. It up. Big time. And I don't think, I don't know that they realize it when they're filming 24/7. Nobody cares about your $500 wager.
Yeah.
But right. now that
yeah, you look so nubbins if you do a 3-to-1 at $100.
Right.
Yeah.
Do they have any Ferger Burger bets?
They probably will. At some
It'll
point.
Be interesting. So, and I know,
yeah, if they're playing a dollar a dot,
Right. I'm intrigued by it, but it's more about the personal interaction and just to see what happens. Not about the golf it's an exhibition,
happened?
Of course. Who cares?
What happened? But
I'm interested in the interaction.
They said they're going to have potty mouths on PTI, too.
Potty mouths.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Tiger has one anyway.
I can't believe you saw that. What are the odds? Like, I don't really watch PTI on the regular.
We didn't. You saw a tweet.
Someone notified me.
We watched it.
Somebody, I saw the same tweet or a tweet. Someone said 8 minutes or whatever he's going to be on PTI.
Oh, I didn't see any tweets.
I was in the tub. I was taking a jacuzzi bath. So I wasn't going to watch.
I was on the manly elliptical.
Were you? Yeah.
Because you guys would be older, by the way. One's on the elliptical. The other one's in their tub
the other
bathing.
One's jacuzzi.
I had just finished working out.
We were supposed to go to jacuzzi.
Hey, the elliptical was the third.
We were supposed to go to jacuzzi.
My workout consisted of walking on an incline treadmill.
Yeah. Hey. What are you getting steps in, brother?
I ran.
Getting my steps in, Cakes.
I ran. I did some rowing, and then I closed with elliptical. That was what I did yesterday. You're intrigued by
20
the match.
Bucks. They're getting 20 bucks from me.
I think we're slipping on the intrigue of Colt McCoy's start tomorrow.
Oh,
Colt
I'm
McCoy
much more
is starting on Thanksgiving.
I don't have to pay $20 to see it.
Against the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, hold on. Let me ask Cakes a question.
Yeah.
You're a D-gen. You like to gamble.
I'm a bit of a D-gen.
Aspect of it doesn't pull you in?
I'm not a big golf gambler.
You just don't like
golf. It's never really kind of like
Neither
sucked
am I.
Me in.
Neither am I. When I play golf, I don't like to gamble.
Yeah.
Because golf is hard enough without it.
Absolutely.
But to watch these guys throw cash, $100,000 a hole or whatever, it is intriguing.
I mean, it's intriguing, but not intriguing enough for me to press that button that says purchase.
$20.
$20?
Right. Okay. So, yeah, to each his own.
Anyway, you're intrigued by the match on Friday, but probably the most intriguing thing in D.C. and in some ways the country is the Thanksgiving game between the Cowboys and Redskins with Colt McCoy starting. And the national shows are talking about it. Peter Schrager from the NFL Network, he does that Good Morning Football show, was talking about something that we've talked about for years, that the people in the building love him. He said, Colt isn't Alex Smith, but when I talk to Sean McVay and when I talk to Kyle Shanahan, two people who've coached Colt McCoy, and I talk to Jay Gruden, they all rave about Colt McCoy. Colt has never had the chance of being that guy in the building. So this is a huge stretch for Colt McCoy. And I wonder what people actually expect. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. The Redskins mustered 13 points of offense against the Cowboys in their win on October 21st. 13 points. 178 yards from Alex Smith, standard Alex Smith line.
Yep.
They did get 99 yards rushing from Adrian Peterson. But we just saw that Cowboys defense give the Atlanta Falcons, who put up 38 against the Redskins, all kinds of problems. The Falcons didn't score much, but it is going to be interesting to see what Colt can deliver tomorrow. Here's what Colt said about getting his opportunity.
It's a blessing to be in this league after so many years.
you know, and it's even a bigger blessing to be able to go out and play. I mean, there's one of 32 guys that get to do it. So I think, you know, throughout my 9 years, I certainly don't take this for granted.
And then Jay Gruden, of course, was asked about him, and Jay is always effusive.
Oh, he gushes about Colt.
Colt McCoy.
He loves him some Colt.
Of course, yes. Yeah. Colt is the ultimate teacher's pet. He's the guy in elementary school that would go up and wash the teacher's, like, chalkboard. I mean, that's just what he is.
But maybe he likes the way that he knows the playbook and takes shots downfield, which Jay is always frustrated. I mean, he was frustrated when Kirk wasn't taking shots last year. Here's what Jay said about believing in Colt McCoy.
Yeah, I do like Colt. I do like his competitive nature. I think he brings a lot to this football team. When you're running scout team, it's not always easy, but he brings a competitive fire. He's made our team better as a result of him being out here. So, but I fully anticipate he's ready to go, and I think he have a big day.
You know, we had D'Angelo Hall on the show on Monday. He says Colt can make every throw. I just wonder, man, sometimes the ball just looks like it's up in the air along time on those outs.
He doesn't look
that pass to Doxson, for example. They could easily get picked off.
But a lot of guys are like that.
Sure.
You got Mahomes, you got Breeze, you know, whatever. You're 7 or 8 guys. Even Breeze, I don't even know if he's got a cannon. He's just so darn accurate.
He's got a pretty damn good arm.
But, you know, not everybody's like that. You can make a great, you can have a great career.
I understand it.
Yeah.
Problem is,
you just got to make right, you got to make good decisions.
And I think it was D'Angelo Hall on our show who said, you know, in one of those routes that Alex Smith, through to Mo Harris on the out, he waited until Mo Harris makes the cut when the ball is actually supposed to be out before the cut. You're supposed to trust it, and Colt's probably going to throw it on the timing and just trust that the
he's going to let it go more than Alex Smith. There's no doubt about that. Now there's an issue with that, turnovers. So you have to kind of deal with that with Colt McCoy. You're going to have to realize he's going to throw more picks and probably fumble more than Alex Smith.
He takes a few more sacks.
Yeah, and he takes more risks.
Here's what Jay says he likes specifically about Colt McCoy.
Everything about Colt is character. You know, he's a great guy to have on your football team and a great leader. He's been like that with, you know, Robert as a starter, with Kirk as a starter, just waiting for his opportunity. And when we signed Alex, he was a little disappointed, but he was all about the Redskins and doing what he could to help the football team. And I know the players really appreciate Colt, what he does on scout team every day. The looks that he gives, the competitive spirit that he brings to practice every day is second to none. So, of course, I don't have a problem. I don't think there's going to be any issue with the team rallying around Colt.
And he's facing a top 10 defense on the road on a short week with not a lot of reps leading up to it. So
I have his numbers in front of me, Cakes.
Oh, you do?
I have his numbers.
Do you have an algorithm like I do?
No.
Okay.
It's not an algorithm. I don't even think you know what an algorithm actually is.
Sure I do.
What is it?
It's some sort of mathematical formula where you plug in a bunch of numbers and then it spits out a result at the end.
All right, this is what I have. I have his line.
Okay.
18 for 27.
Okay, that's pretty solid.
210 yards and one score. It's going to be Alex Smith-like.
If that's the line, that looks like a Redskins L to me on the road against the Cowboys. That's what that's telling me.
He's not going to come in here and throw for 300 yards. It's not going to happen.
Can he throw for 250?
Well, last time he played the Cowboys, he threw for 299, right? I think he did.
Ancient history.
Yeah, that was 4 years ago.
Well, what did you say about fairy tales, EB?
I don't believe that fairy tales will happen. You know, they don't happen twice.
Right.
They happened once. But I think that it's going to play well. I think
that's not bad. That's a decent line. I'm going to say he's going to go without a turnover.
Does he run one in two?
The focus is on,
Does he run one in two?
No.
Doesn't he use his legs to get into the end zone?
I think that their offensive output is going to be similar to what happened in the first game. They put up 13 points in the first game. Maybe they'll score a little bit more. I'll give you an AP touchdown and a couple field goals. They're not going over 20 against the Cowboys. The Falcons didn't. If the Falcons didn't put up 20 points on them, why are the Redskins going to put up 20?
Ooh, this smells like a wager, Valdez. Do I want to go over the 20 with the Redskins?
Why? What makes you believe that this Redskins offense all of a sudden is going to score more than 20
points?
I'll tell you,
exactly. It rhymes with mingle. Tingle.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it rhymes with bolt. And his name is Colt.
No. I mean, I think the Redskins will score more than 20 points. Right, I'll bet it right now.
Make the bet. Can you pass me the bet?
$3 bet.
Cakes and I, done.
$3
I think Cakes
bet.
And I have made bets recently. We just don't write them down.
No,
we
don't.
About them.
We just throw them out there willy nilly.
All right, let's pay out a couple of these calls real quick. I know we're packed today. We've got about 100 guests. the last show here before Thanksgiving. Let's go to, let me see here. Let's go to Blink. Remember, from Blink in a while, have we?
By the way, it has been quite a while. Yes. Do I owe you a bunch of money?
No. The first page I turned to in this bet book says 2018 Wiz season Liddell's cakes, $5 per man.
Oh, no.
We all bet.
Oh, does anybody have the Frank Hanrahan? Oh, no. Does anybody have that anywhere? I think I'm going to need it.
You bet 50 wins in a 4 seed.
Oh. Anybody interested in a buyout?
Valdez is looking good. He bet 39 wins in an 8 seed. Everybody had him in the playoffs.
Mm. Let's go real quick. Blink, what's up, buddy?
What's up, baby?
What's up?
Man, living life, loving life, man. I mean, I'm excited, man, because Colt McCoy going to go down to Texas, get love, get some home cooking for Thanksgiving, and win the game again, homie.
All right. Thank you, Blink. I'm sorry. I didn't have to do that. Real quick, I want to do Tyson from D.C. Tyson, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey,
what's up?
How are you?
Good, man. Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
You too,
hey,
man.
Hey, I'm not a really big golf fan, you know what I'm saying, but I'm a casual fan, you know, when Tiger's involved. And I happened to be watching SportsCenter yesterday and Sage Steele interviewed him in field, and I wasn't aware of the hatred that those guys had for each other just until a couple of years ago, whether it was the Davis Cup wider team and so forth and so on. But they were saying that, you know, these bets, you know, they're going to be real and they're actually going to have cash,
right,
you know, on hand for their individual side bets. And then, you know, Phil pulls out a wad of maybe $8,000-$10,000 right on air. And was like, yo, this is how it's going down. So, hey, I'm intrigued. I'm going to be tuned in.
Nice. So you're gonna drop 20. You don't care about golf.
He's not going to have $200,000 cash.
The cash flash sucked you in.
If they came out duffel bags.
That would be amazing. Might get me to tune in.
Is he going
to
have a suitcase like they used to on Deal or No Deal?
They should just have a duffel bag. Like Callaway duffel bag stuffed with cash.
They should have Paige Spearnak running around in a bikini with a wheelbarrow full of the cash.
I agree with
down
you.
Down the fairway.
I agree with you. Dude, I'm telling you, there's going to be some intrigue. They're doing a nice job hyping this here in the last few moments. This is what they always do with, like, the UFC or pay-per-view boxing. Yep. The last 2-3 days, right before, when it comes time to buy, all of a sudden the boys are out there promoting.
The counter is, it felt so cheesy and forced. Again, I didn't listen to the audio.
They're not natural.
When I just saw them.
Listen to Kramer.
It is forced.
You know how it is on TV, too, where a lot of times we've done TV gigs where it's either the four of us or two of us, and you have to, like, scrunch in to fit on the camera where you're, like, shoulder to shoulder. That's how they were on PTI, right?
They were
like, their shoulders are touching each other.
There's no question.
Fit in the shot.
It's definitely forced. And that they acknowledge it. They even had them, like, staring each other down like boxers, and they started cracking up.
Yeah.
You know? It's fine, though. I'm all in. I like it. You think that's not going to be entertaining for $20? Kidding?
I think you'll definitely be entertained.
And, by the way, you go to a movie, spend $36 for a ticket, a popcorn, and a soda. It's over in 2 hours. I mean, this could go 3, 4, 5 hours.
I don't know. I'll be at the Caps game.
It's your whole afternoon. It's set for Friday.
Yeah, I'm just chilling. Come back from Jersey. Put it this way. I'm leaving by 10.
What if they play extra holes?
See, a lot of people think it'll be over by 17. But they may continue with the side bets on the last few holes. See, that's where it could get interesting.
Emergency
too.
9.
Exactly.
I'm going to be watching Ovi on Friday.
Very good. I like
Stanley
that.
Cup champion.
I like that plan.
All right, but some days I make 20 bets.
When it comes back to Colt McCoy, it's tomorrow, yep. Thanksgiving. Redskins play the Cowboys for first place, and their backup quarterback, Colt McCoy, is under center. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Kevin McCarthy joins us top of the hour. We'll hear what he thinks about Creed 2, and the new Wreck-It Ralph movie as we talk some movies.
I like the Creed with Scott Stapp singing lead vocals instead of the movie. But that's just me personally.
John Feinstein joins us at 7:20. Scott Brooks, head coach of the Wizards, will join us at 8 o'clock. You don't want to miss that. But we're talking about the Redskins game tomorrow against the Cowboys, what to expect, and what we expect from Colt McCoy. I've got him 18 for 27, 210 yards and a touchdown. Not spectacular. Good enough if the defense plays well to get a win. It's similar to what Alex Smith was giving you. I don't think it's going to be anything really that far beyond what Alex Smith had been giving them. And I think that's partly because of the lack of weapons on the outside. But maybe he'll light the walls on fire.
I'm gonna differ. I think he's gonna put up significant more sort of yardage numbers, and probably when it's all said and done, obviously a higher touchdown ratio. I think he's gonna put up more significant numbers. So, what was Alex averaging per game?
Ooh, probably. I mean,
like 199 or something. Did it really drop off to below 200?
I feel like it was over 200 because he had a 300-yard game or two.
Give me whatever he's gonna. I think he's gonna average close to 40 to 50 yards more per game in the passing game.
Okay, well, my 210 yards, he had Alex Smith at 178 against the
Cowboys.
Yeah, but
I'm gonna guess
he
averaged about 199, like 210 or something per game. What did he finish?
He finished with 2,180 yards.
In what? In nine games?
In 10 games.
Yeah, so that's like
218 per game.
Yeah, I think he'll get.
I have a vested interest now.
I think he can get 250-ish.
In the Skins game tomorrow. I have a very small bet, a small play on the Skins scoring over 16 points tomorrow. I think that's stealing.
I thought we just bet over 20.
No, I bet with Valdez.
Okay, get another bet.
Valdez thinks it. Really?
Kings just keeps taking overs and overs.
I love overs. I just can't help myself.
I would go over too. 16 points. 41.
That's two touchdowns and a field goal, and I'm there. I'm at my destination.
We have two top five defenses.
But the Cowboys allow 19 points per game. I think the Redskins can get to that number.
I think the shackles are going to be taken off the offense. We're going to have a guy that's actually going to sling it downfield. It'll come with its mistakes, but I think he's going to sling it a little bit.
I don't know. I just don't believe he's going to put up better numbers than Matt Ryan, and I don't believe that the Redskins' pass game is going to do better than Julio Jones and those guys.
And what they did in that one particular game, you're saying?
Well, the Cowboys' defense is really good.
Yeah.
But the last game they played was against the Falcons, and the Falcons, who we saw here and we thought had this prolific offense, was held to 17.
Maybe I'm an idiot.
That's a bad game.
But I think Colt McCoy is capable of passing for between 230 and 250 yards against the Cowboys.
Of course he's capable.
And that's so doable.
He's capable. I think he'll do that against other defenses. I just don't think he's going to do it against Dallas.
He can do it against them. All right, let's bang out some of these calls. Let's go to, let me see here. Go to Adam. Adam, what's up, buddy? You on with the Junks.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Adam?
I think that Colt McCoy is going to have a breakout game. I know he's been in this offense for a long time, and I think I'm with some of you guys, but I'm a little bit more optimistic. I think he's going to throw for over 250 yards. I think he's going to have three touchdowns, no picks.
Three touchdowns.
And I think he's going to hype this team, and I honestly believe we're going to close out 10-6.
I think
we're going to lose two more games against the Titans and against the Eagles. But I think Colt McCoy could be a starter on – I mean, he's definitely the best backup in the league, and I think he could be a starter on other teams. He could be a starter for the Bills, per se.
This is his six-game audition. This is him – I know he's under contract for next season, but this is him showing to the rest of the league, look, I'm better than just being a backup. I should be starting in the league on a weekly basis.
I think over time – he'll have more touchdowns than Alex Smith. I joked about it that in his six starts, he may end up with more touchdowns than Alex Smith through 10 starts, which is just 10 touchdowns. But I think it's going to be tough against the Cowboys defense.
I mean, Deshaun Watson is obviously a bigger talent. I mean, he threw for 375 yards against this, awesome defense
several weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, they're not the 85 Chicago Bears.
No.
Yeah. I mean, they're not. Yeah. They're beatable.
Let's go to PJ Reston. PJ, what's up?
Hey, guys. I got a little bit of a gargly connection, but what I wanted to say is I expect Colt will play pretty well against the Cowboys, win or lose. He's going to play well. The key with Colt is going to be the next game against Philly. You know, it's kind of like the Ryan Fitzpatrick's. They always have two or three games out the gate where they're awesome. It's going to be after they have those couple games when the defense has adjusted them. How do they adjust? Hopefully he can sustain it. And the Redskins +8 is a great bet, honestly, too, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too. Happy Thanksgiving, buddy. Let's go to Kathy, Frederick, Maryland. Kathy, what's up? You're on with the Junkies. How are you, Kathy?
Yeah, good. Doing good.
Kathy?
Oh.
Kathy?
Is this the Kathy that would always call in?
No, I think it's a different one.
No, this is a different one, but I've only been I came in the Redskins fan, the RG3 era, and ever since then, I'm hooked.
Lucky you. You started rooting for the Redskins when RG3 was here.
I have low patience today.
Let's go to our guy, though. Walt from Alexandria. Hey, Walt. What's up, buddy?
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing this morning?
Hello,
doing
great. Walt. How are you?
You know, it's not going to be Colt McCoy that wins this game for tomorrow. It's going to be for Thanksgiving. It's going to be the kicking game. As long as that kicker kicks the ball out of the end zone every time and don't try anything fancy and cause the Cowboys to get the ball short. Now, McCoy is going to be a good game manager. He's going to manage the game, but the winner is going to be the kicking game. That's my opinion on this whole thing.
Well, right. I like that you're different because most people would not go into any game saying the kicking game is the key to winning. But I like you, Walt. Your style.
It could be in a close game.
Okay, maybe.
It could be. And I think, an indoor situation. I mean, Dustin Hopkins is going to kick it. They're going to have touchbacks. He's going to be fine with that. This should be a perfect kicking environment. Dustin will be fine.
By the way, I was watching yesterday the playback of the Rams-Chiefs game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on NFL Network. It was replaying. Again, didn't have the volume on, but I saw it. And when the punter for the Rams had, I guess, the last drive, right, the Rams actually, when they wanted to milk the clock, they pass, didn't get a first down. They had to punt. Punter had a 67-yard punt, and after he was jumping up and down, I'd never seen a guy celebrate so much off the punt. He was fired up.
You see guys do that when they get the touchback or when they get down inside the five or something. They get pretty fired up.
I think it was Tyreek Hill who he had to backpedal. He caught it like around the goal line, and he got about a 15-yard gain, and then Mahomes ends up throwing the interception at the end. Unbelievable game that was. All right, we will talk more Redskins, Cowboys throughout the show. How do you think Colt McCoy will fare? But coming up next, we switch gears. We talk some movies. Kevin McCarthy from Fox 5 joins us to fill us in on Creed 2 and the new Wreck-It Ralph movie right here on The Junkie.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.